I want to take you to Revelation chapter 4 because that's what I heard as I was driving in. And Revelation chapter 4 is written to the churches and to the people after the announcement of the seven churches that were given to by Jesus Christ. And it starts off with, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and a voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven." Verse 2, "At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it." Now, when I read this, when I did get quiet before the Lord, I was instantly back in Spokane, Washington. And as I read it again, same thing happened again right now. And the reason that, you know, I speak things out is to give you an edge. Because if something happens to me that gives me an open edge to go higher and a thrust to believe that God was willing to do something more for me, then he's willing to do something more for? Yes, each one of us. Okay? So, I was there for the feast, I would believe, I'm guessing, 1989. And when I say that, it's because I went in 88 in Spokane. Yeah, I was in Spokane in 89. So it could have been 89 or 90. But this was the beginning of understanding the importance of the feast. For me, the feasts of the Lord were not that important. I did the church feasts or church celebrations, Christmas, New Year's, and all those good things. Then later on, I learned that all these things that we do have their origin in the occult, which I didn't particularly like. Because here we are, using dates and days and so on and so forth to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, and we say his name, but in reality, there's a lot of deception. But in this particular time, I had really pressed in, because 87 was the first year that I really got serious with the Lord and said, "I'm going to take time for your celebrations, not my own." I took time to get a calendar that had the Jewish feasts on it. I took time to make it important for me to set time aside to make sure that I would reconnect with my Creator, because that's what God is all about. He's our Creator. Well, this particular trip to Washington was awesome. I had several friends with me. I think we were four of us from New England. And this was the second or third night of the feast. And the music was outstanding. The musicians had done an incredible job. The anointing of the Lord was on there. And all of a sudden, now very rarely do I get happy about drums. I'm serious, okay? I like music. I like harmony. I like orchestration. I like all the things of my type of music, if that makes sense. How many have their own type? Every one of us has certain things that God moves in. But you also know that there are times that the Holy Spirit will grab a hold of somebody. And like in John's situation, at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne. Okay? Now you say, it's written on the page, Kim. It's wonderful. But you know what? The rubber meets the hole, the rubber meets the road when it happens to you. Amen?
Amen.
not all about somebody else telling something. It's about you tasting. Tell your neighbor, it's time for you to taste. Got it? So, the worship was beautiful music, beautiful singing, nice songs. But then something shifted. It's like you're sitting in the backyard, everything is nice and quiet, and all of a sudden you hear a rumble. How many know what it might be? Thunder. Yeah, thunder. Huh?
It's traffic at our house.
Traffic at your house.
Big truck going by.
The drummer went into the realm of the spirit. The anointing hit that set of drums, and it was so intense that the drummer didn't stop for about 45 minutes. Could not stop. We didn't want him to stop. There was sounds coming out of that set of drums that was so intense that we all entered the realm of the Spirit. I remember falling to my knees, praying in the Spirit. I couldn't stop praying. And on my knees, I began to see in that realm. It didn't last a big, long amount of time. I wish it would have, but it didn't. But I could see in front of me, like where about Gail is sitting, it would look like marble wall or granite wall, if you wish, with all different blocks, and I would say they were stacked on top of each other, like, not like steps, but like a wall, but about 4.5 feet high. And about that level, it went way back, and in the back, I knew there was a throne. I didn't see it. And I wanted so, you know how you want to stretch your eyeballs because you want to see more? Come on, you guys. When God gives you a vision, I'm never satisfied. I just wasn't satisfied. But the presence of God was so intense that I melted. You say, how do you melt as a human being? When the heat's on, girl, that's when you melt. When the presence of God is so intense that the snow can't stay, it turns to water.
Amen.
On your shovel. Why? Because God's presence is there. You see, and I was accustomed to church. This wasn't church. This was relationship. This was me and Papa getting to connect, and he didn't allow me to see. You know why? He wanted me to get hungry for more. What am I saying to you? Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Don't sit with just, oh, well, I wish it was happening to me. Declare that it can and it will. Mark 11:24 says, believing you have received, it will be done unto you. This happened to John. John was a man. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder. Say, neighbor, get with it. You can enter that realm. So can I. Hallelujah. You see, I could tell you about all the things that happened to me, but that isn't worth a pill of beans. Until it becomes yours.
Amen.
It's only a testimony. And we got a lot of people with moanies. And they cry about this and they cry about that and they got the moanies. Good grief, get off of that. Make it a testimony. Make it part of God's plan for your life. Don't be satisfied. Oh, I saw the throne one day and it was awesome and I want more. That's your cry, isn't it, girl? I want more. I'm not satisfied. One more time. Just going to take you just a hair more. Come up here and I will show you what must take place after this or in the future, the Amplified said. Yes, Gail? What does it say? What must take place?
In the future.
In the future. Do you want to know tomorrow? Some people think, oh, tomorrow's going to be horrible. Tomorrow's going to be awesome. Okay? Tomorrow is going to be better than yesterday. Yesterday I got a phone call. And this lady had an incredible dream. And don't try to figure out who it is because I'm not going to tell you. But in the dream, a relative of this lady got onto a glory train. And the glory of God was on the train. And it was all over the train. She has no clue that there's a prophet of the Lord that has prophesied that the glory train is coming. I tasted a little bit of that glory train when I was on my knees worshiping God. And you know what? I haven't forgotten, and I want more. I am not satisfied with what we had yesterday. Put your hand over your heart, the other hand in the air. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
I am not satisfied with the status quo.
I am not satisfied with
I want to know the future.
I want to know the future.
Today.
Today.
I don't want to wait.
I'm
very nosy, Lord.
I'm very nosy.
And I want to know Jesus.
And
the fullness of his splendor
inside me.
To get excited about tomorrow. Not to be depressed.
Not to be moaning.
Not to be groaning.
But to celebrate
the fullness of Christ.
The anointed one.
Inside of me.
Inside.
And I want to see the throne.
And I want to see the throne.
For myself.
For myself.
You showed it to John.
You
can show it to me.
Hallelujah.
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 That's it.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Share some hugs with each other.